Welcome to Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. The global community faces a future of catastrophic climate change if we continue on our current path and do not reduce our carbon emissions immediately. With the loss of federal policies to implement the goals outlined in the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement, such as the Trump administration's repeal of Obama's Clean Power Plan and other climate policies, many states have picked up the torch to transition to clean energy. Leading the charge here in New Mexico for 100% renewable energy is Marielle Nanasi, Executive Director of New Energy Economy, a nonprofit advocacy group based in Santa Fe that works to build a carbon-free energy future for our health and environment. Welcome, Marielle.
Thank you for having me.
Great. And Marielle, before we kick things off with your 100% renewables campaign, tell us about your organization, New Energy Economy.
Well, New Energy Economy was actually founded by two doctors in 2004 in Santa Fe, but they had been living on the Navajo Nation. And so they were struck by the damage that has already been done and the urgency of, at that time, moving off of fossil fuels and towards a renewable energy economy, a clean energy economy, and hence the name New Energy Economy. And they thought, rightly so, they were prescient and thought that it would be better for our health, environment, and our economy to make that transition at that time. And so at that time, they were facing the prospect of another coal plant in the Four Corners region, which they fought successfully against with a whole host number of organizations. And they also opposed further uranium mining, and that ultimately led to a ban by the Navajo Nation for uranium mining, for further uranium mining. And the uranium mining that they learned about and really was a catalyst to New Energy Economy never happened. So that was the genesis. I came on in 2008 as the senior policy advisor, and we won successfully under Governor Richardson a carbon reduction administrative rule, but that was overturned by Governor Martinez when she became governor. So we've been doing lots of other work since then. Most recently, we fought PNM's further investment in coal and nuclear, and we have a couple of cases pending in front of the New Mexico Supreme Court, and we're quite active in the Public Regulation Commission right now. I think we'll be talking about it later, hopefully, is a rate case, another rate case that PNM is asking for. And about half of the increase is due to further investment in coal and nuclear. And so we are actively opposing that.
Yes, we'll get a chance to talk about that a little bit later in the program. So, Marielle, you're kicking off the 100% Renewables campaign. Tell us a bit about the effort.
Well, basically, there was a call, a national people's climate mobilization, and there was a very large demonstration. People probably heard about it in Washington, D.C. And so there was a call to act on climate, and there was a demonstration in Albuquerque and other places around the state. And I thought, well, what should we do here in Santa Fe? And frankly, I couldn't get excited about another demonstration to an empty building. And it just coincided with a respected elder in our community, Kathy Sanchez, who's the founder of Tewah Women United, and she's on the board of the National Council of Elders. And they decided to honor Martin Luther King's speech, Beyond Vietnam, A Time to Break Silence. And it has its 50th anniversary this year. Actually, April 4th was the day that he delivered it, that speech, at the Riverside Church. And on the same day, April 4th, 1 year later, he was assassinated. And the National Council of Elders decided that they wanted to have people perform or present or read out loud King's speech before audiences and then have discussion. And so she actually did that in Santa Fe, and I had the privilege to be at the first reading. And just so your listeners know, the last performance will be at the Lorraine Motel where King was killed. So there will be performances all over the country throughout this year of his speech, Beyond Vietnam, A Time to Break Silence. And if people either haven't read it or haven't read it in a long time or haven't heard it, they're available online. You can go to YouTube. And it's just, it's remarkable. And as I was listening, I was struck by the degree to which our energy system is its own kind of war, waged by the fossil fuel companies who ravage and destroy the earth, Mother Nature, and see workers and local communities, especially communities of color and native communities, as disposable or collateral damage, extinguish humanity for short-term profit. And we see that fossil fuel companies are the wealthiest companies on the planet, actually the wealthiest companies in history, and they're destroying everything, including our democracy. And so while I was sitting there listening to this speech be read out loud, I kept on putting hearing rather than Vietnam, though of course we need to address the system of war as well, but I kept on hearing the fossil fuels or climate change being inserted instead. And actually a friend of mine, after when I talked to him about it, he actually did it. He took his speech and he infused climate change and the war economy and the fossil fuel economy into that speech. So we need to transition and heal from this destructive and violent system. And we have the opportunity and responsibility to do so in New Mexico. And so I literally came back from that reading and I said to our staff at New Energy Economy, what if we looked at King's speech and mined it for the incredible themes, and there's so many really potent messages in that speech, and what if we infused the 100% renewables campaign with that moral imperative, and instead of having another demonstration to an empty building, as I said before, let's have a gathering and talk about what we really want. And as you, people may remember, that speech ends with the urgency of now. And that's when he talks about a time when silence becomes betrayal. And he talks about there is such a thing as too late. And in another speech, he talks about the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. And I was thinking, why 100%? Why 100% renewables campaign? Well, when a man beats his wife, we don't say 50% of men should stop beating their wives. We say end domestic violence. And so can we get to 100% renewables today? Given our current consumption, we can't. But we could get quite quickly to 50% renewables in the next 4 years, I believe. And if we did that, we would build the public pressure, because there will be such positive benefits for our economy and on our lives, then that would mean that there would be the impetus to continue on and to move towards 100% renewables. And by the time we have a paper that we have written that outlines the technical roadmap to proceed with 100% renewables. So it's really exciting proposition that we really believe will create a high employment, high innovation, clean energy economy in New Mexico.
And Mariel, you'll be in Silver City on Monday, June 5th for the kickoff event of the 100% Renewables Campaign. Give us more of the details of that event.
This coming Monday, June 5th, 2017, at 5:30, we will be at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Hall. That's at 3845 North Swan Street in Silver City. And this is a co-event between New Energy Economy and Seed of Southwest New Mexico. and we will be having a panel discussion and action groups. So this is an interactive panel discussion, and then it will be followed by dinner. So it's at 5:30, Monday, June 5th, at the UU Fellowship Hall, 3845 North Swan Street. And it begins at 5:30, and it will last till 7, and then from 7 to 7:30, there will be dinner provided. So we hope it's a free event, though we'll be taking any donations for the dinner portion. But it's a free event, and we invite all your listeners to join us.
Great. And you mentioned action groups. So I am thinking you're hoping that people are going to get involved in this campaign. What's your vision for public involvement?
Well, we do have some ideas already. I will say that, and I can talk to you about that. But we really want this to be bubbling up from the community. What we want to do is, as we've talked about before, is to invoke the principles that Martin Luther King set forth in his Beyond Vietnam, A Time to Break Silent Speech, to invoke the urgency of now, and to do it in a way that's just and anti-racist and inspiring. And so we want those ideas to come mostly from the community, because that's the community that the people in Silver City and around live in. So they know best. And we have ideas about how to drive this into the different political campaigns that are going on, especially including the gubernatorial campaign that will be coming up, because this is a rallying cry that really has resonance all throughout New Mexico, across demographics, across race, and across party line. People want a renewable energy economy, and they want to have a healthy planet for their grandchildren.
All right. So, Mary, will give us the date and time and place again.
Monday, June 5th at the UU Fellowship Hall, 3845 North Swan Street, that's in Silver City, at 5:30 to 7. There will be a presentation and dialogue, and then at 7 to 7:30, there'll be dinner. So we hope people will come and join us for this 100% renewables campaign launch in Silver City.
We'll be right back after this short break, and we'll talk more about the 100% Renewables Campaign with New Energy Economy's Marielle Nanasi. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic, Director of the Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. We're talking today with Marielle Nanasi, Executive Director of New Energy Economy. Marielle will be in Silver City on Monday, June 5th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the UU Fellowship Hall to kick off their 100% Renewables campaign. So, Marielle, as you mentioned in the previous segment, there's a moral component to the 100% Renewables campaign, and you're calling this the path to justice. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, you know, we were talking before about the themes that were invoked by the Martin Luther King speech. This is the 50th anniversary of that speech, Beyond Vietnam, A Time to Break Silence. Well, it's our time to break silence. We have seen a beautiful, vibrant movement just really grow up. Lots of people who have not ever been active coming out, and we saw just this resistance to, you know, some of the most heinous parts of Trump's administration thus far, when people came out spontaneously in this beautiful eruption of love and really for justice, when the Muslim ban I'm thinking of. Well, we have to do that against the coal polluters, the frackers, and the nuclear industry that is leaving this legacy of radioactive waste for our great-grandchildren. So we have to educate ourselves about energy, which is a big topic, and demand what we know is right, and that is a just transition from a fossil fuel economy that has really devastated us in so many ways, not only in climate and environment, but also in the economy. The 1%, it could not be more represented but by the fossil fuel industry. And literally they have more money than most governments, even governments put together. And so this is is not only a matter of environmental justice, but it's a matter of economic justice and equity as well. And so, for instance, we now know that PNM has said, finally, that they're going to close San Juan in 2022 because it's no longer economic, which means that they can't even prove that it's a benefit to ratepayers to keep it open. We said that, by the way, a new energy economy had that position 3 years ago in front of the Public Regulation Commission, and we said that PNM rigged the numbers, cooked the books, and that was the only way that they could get the PRC to approve of further investment in coal and nuclear. We said that they lied and that they fudged the numbers, and that in fact, if it would be better to close that plant, and the benefit was $340 million to ratepayers to close the plant. Well, 1 year later, they agreed that it's no longer, PNM agreed. 1 year after the PRC, Public Regulation Commission, allowed PNM to reinvest in San Juan Generating Station, PNM agreed, oh yeah, it's no longer cost effective, and we're going to shut that plant down. And it was actually only 2 months after they told the Supreme Court, because we are appealing that decision to the New Mexico Supreme Court, and I argued that on January 25th, 2017. So we're awaiting a New Mexico Supreme Court decision, and PNM has now admitted that they're going to close San Juan in 2022. And it's good that they've admitted it. 5 years is too long, and they should shut it down beforehand. But then the other part of your question, what does a just transition mean? Well, first and foremost, that means protect workers, and that includes health care for the rest of their life, and it includes job retraining. And it also includes a whole host of other things that we've come up with. One is cleaning up the toxic mess. The San Juan plant is a 250-acre toxic waste site with things like millions of tons of coal ash that are seeping into the waterways, that and leaching into the ground and into the soil. So that's number one, right? Which is to clean up the toxic mess, and the people who've worked there now should get those jobs, should be first in line to get those jobs. There's contaminants left in the soil and the water, and we have to be assured that this is actually really cleaned up. Another part of the just transition is no financial funny business, right? We can't have customers paying for PNM's poor planning. So if we prove, which I'm hoping to do, that PNM should not have invested in further in that plant, then going forward from that time, we should not be paying any of those extra costs. Also, there's a whole issue called stranded assets, which I don't want to go into too much, unless you do, Allison. But basically what it is stranded assets. These are assets that have now become worthless, like the coal plant. Nobody will buy megawatts from that coal plant. So it's gone from being an asset to not only being valued at $0, but it's even become a liability, so that now nobody would want to buy it, even if you got free megawatts, because there's so many risks and liabilities associated with it for decommissioning and reclamation. So we don't want that to be discharged onto the ratepayers, and that's PNM's plan, is to say that they want to collect 100% of stranded assets. Actually, it's on page one of PNM's plan for the future, is that they want to collect 100% of the stranded assets from that plant, from ratepayers. So that's the kind of financial funny business that we need to really oppose, because, again, they are the 1% in New Mexico, just their top four or five senior executives make $10 million a year. At the same time, PNM has cut off the electricity, literally shut off the lights on 22,000 people. That was a statistic from 2014. They turned off the lights. Why? Because people couldn't afford their electric bills. So the other two big things on the just transition is 100% renewable replacement power, which is solar, wind, and family-supporting jobs, and installing solar on the San Juan site. Basically, there is transmission capability already there because we know, because that's where the coal electricity has been coming from. And so creating a beneficial use from the remains of basically what is currently now a toxic 250-acre toxic site.
Yeah, so there will be job losses when PNM closes down coal-fired units at the San Juan Generating Station and the Four Corners Power Plant. But what can be done to mitigate the economic impacts to these communities? What are some of the things that people are talking about?
Well, one of the things is, you know, as I said before, is cleaning up the toxic mess. So that's a big, you know, that's going to be many jobs for a number of years. The other thing is that we want to install solar on the San Juan site itself, and perhaps I know less about the Four Corners plant, but I know some about that as well, and so that's one of the possibilities, which is to actually install solar on those sites, because it has, as I said, access to transmission, and also because that could be a beneficial use. But, you know, a lot of these people are in their 50s, and they're not, like, looking to be transitioned into new jobs, and so really cleaning the cleanup part, they know where the bodies are buried at those places, so that would be the first thing for them. But we've been talking to those elected officials for literally for a dozen years at this point about making the transition to renewables, and that's what they have to do, and instead they unfortunately have sold their people, I think, down the road, and they've clung to the status quo. They, you know, San Juan College used to be one of the preeminent solar certification community colleges in the country, and now it barely licenses people for renewables anymore. And so, you know, the boom and bust of coal and gas, unfortunately, they're in a very deep bust situation. And so we need to help transition those workers and make sure that they have health care, that they get our first in line for these jobs around the plants themselves. And then we have to transition the entire economy. Because, you see, one of the things that Martin Luther King talked about, I thought so brilliantly, he said, we cannot limit ourselves to the false choices that we're presented with. And that's what we often are. Oh, if you want money for schools, let us just frack the heck out of New Mexico. And I mean, you know, people have heard all these kinds of false choices before. But we need a revolution of our values, and that people matter and are worth more than profit. And so we have to reorient our society to be less about exploitation and violence, and more about resilience and care for one another and the only home that we have.
So, Mariel, what give us a sense of what's the percentage of renewables versus fossil fuel and nuclear? How much more renewable energy do we have to generate to become 100% renewable? And what's the time frame?
So, in New Mexico, PNM is the largest investor-owned utility. It's a monopoly, and so it doesn't face any competition. And while this isn't exactly the same for the entire state, it's representative of the same. And PNM has 2% solar on its system. 1% are all the individual homeowners like myself and businesses out there that have installed solar and actually have now, because we have solar, have a hedge against all these rising electric utility rates. The other percent, 1% is all the individuals and homeowners, and PNM takes credit for that. And there's one other percent that PNM has actually installed itself. It has 7% wind. So together that's 9% renewables. Now compare that to 60%. When you turn on your lights or boot up your computer, 60% of our electricity comes from coal in New Mexico. The largest piece of that is San Juan Generating Station that we were talking about just a few minutes ago. And then there's a smaller percentage that comes from the Four Corners Power Plant. So 60% comes from coal, and then another 20% comes from nuclear. Now, that nuclear costs us hundreds of millions of dollars. It's the most expensive form of energy, and it's also an incredible water hog, and it's out of state. It's in Arizona. So we do not, for all the hundreds of millions of dollars that we have paid PNM for that nuclear-generated electricity, there has not been one job created in New Mexico as a result of that. So together, the coal and nuclear make up 80% of PNM's electric generation. Now, there's about 10% gas, and then, as I said, it's 11 or 12, and then 9% renewables. And basically what we need to do is eliminate, first and foremost, eliminate the coal and nuclear. And so that's why, in order to have renewables get on the system, we have to close down the coal and the nuclear. And so that's why New Energy Economy has made as its focus the target being coal first, because of the climate ramifications of coal. Coal is the single greatest driver of climate change. About 30% of our climate problems stem from all the coal pollution. So we need to close coal as quickly as absolutely possible. And so that's what our efforts have been focused on.
Okay, so let's take a break and return for the second half of our show with Mariel Nanasi of New Energy Economy here on Earth Matters on KURU 89.1 FM. Don't go away. Welcome back to Earth Matters. This is Allison Sibick, Director of the Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. My guest today is Mariel Nanasi, Executive Director of New Energy Economy, a nonprofit advocacy organization based in Santa Fe that works to build a carbon-free energy future for our health and environment. Mariel will be in Silver City on Monday, June 5th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the UU Fellowship to kick off their 100% renewable energy campaign. So, Mariel, New Energy Economy just won an important victory in the PNM rate case before the New Mexico Public Regulation Commission. Give us a bit of background on this important issue.
Hi, I just want to say again, thanks so much for having me on your radio program, and I look forward to seeing everybody at the 100% Renewable Campaign launch on Monday, June 5th at 5:30 at the UU Fellowship Hall, 3845 North Swan Street in Silver City. And if I could, I would just like to, if people are looking for local connection representation for this event, people can call Deb James at 505-440-8308, 440-8308. The rate case. So PNM, as I just said before, has 60% reliance on coal and 20% reliance on nuclear. That's going to shift in 2018, unless we win in the Supreme Court, to 50% reliance on coal and 30% reliance on nuclear. So 80% of all of our energy comes from coal and nuclear, and hence the rate increases. Rate increase after rate increase after rate increase. And so since 2008, average residential rates have risen more than 50%, and the profits of the company have gone up 461%. So we are literally paying, our money is generated here and sent to Wall Street, and to make the senior management at PNM and the shareholders a lot of money. Last year they made a 15% increase in their stock. So what's happening is that there's something that I have to explain. It's counterintuitive to most people. But when PNM spends more money, they make more money. And this is how it works. Usually, when a business wants to make more profit, they spend less, and therefore they have more profit for the same amount. But the more PNM spends, the more they make, and this is how it works. So not only do they go to basically the PRC and say, here's our receipt, we want reimbursement for everything we've spent. So that's what's typically called cost recovery. And that includes everything. That includes workers' salaries, that includes profit, senior management salaries, it includes everything. But on top of that, PNM gets a guaranteed return on equity, and that's of nearly 10%. And what that means is every time they spend money on something big, they get not only the actual money back for that expenditure, but they make 10% on it. So there's a perverse incentive for them to spend a lot of money on big capital things. So when you have a 50-year-old coal plant, as is the Four Corners coal plant, in July 2016 it turned 50 years old. The San Juan plant is over 40 years old. Well, if you have your choice between an old thing and a new thing, unless it's like an antique car, you basically choose the new thing because it has less operation and maintenance costs, it has less, you know, a possibility of breakdown, all those kinds of things. And but not with PNM. With PNM and the other investor utilities, this is the same for them as well, there is an incentive to let things, to invest in things, even if they're old, because they make more money to do so. Let me give you an example. If you have a car and you put in oil in your car, maybe that's 25 or 30 bucks twice a year, and then you can keep your engine running for 10, 12, maybe 15 years. But if you don't invest that $25 or $30 in twice a year, then eventually, probably in somewhere between 3, 5, 7 years, your engine's going to break. Well, PNM would rather have the engine break because when the engine breaks, they not only buy a new engine, which costs a lot of money, they then get a return on equity for that engine. Whereas if they only put in the $25 or $30 twice a year for the gas, that goes in the operation and maintenance budget, and they don't make profit on that. They just get cost recovery from it. So there's a problem here, and that is endemic in the system. And so PNM has continuously invested in these old coal and nuclear plants. Just to give you an idea how much money we're really talking about, the Palo Verde plant, where we get 20% of our energy right now, and we're going to be getting 30% of it in 2018, between 1993 and 2013, the capital expenditures at that plant were $3 billion. PNM owns only 10% of that plant, but that's a mere $300 million just for capital expenditures, so just to keep that plant operational and safe. But they get a hefty return on that, and stock prices show that. So that's what we're paying for, and that's what these rate increases are. And out of this $700 million rate increase that PNM is requesting, $280 million of it is just for capital expenditures on the coal and nuclear. And there's less than 0.1% for renewables.
So how much are rates projected to increase based on their plan, their request?
Well, their request is 14%. And then I forgot to even answer the most direct part of your question, which is what was the exciting new news. So PNM stipulated, that means settled, with a number of parties, about a dozen parties, and they came down from a 14% increase to a 9% increase, which is still quite hefty. And that 9% increase follows the 9.5% increase that PNM was just allowed in October 2016. So they're doing pretty well. And so we, New Energy Economy, opposed the stipulation. And in an extraordinary move, the regulators at the PRC rejected the stipulation and agreed with us, actually used one of the words we said. We said that the 9% newest increase was a heavy and unjustified burden on New Mexican families. And in fact, the hearing examiners also said that the stipulation was a burden, and that's a quote, on the residential rate class for a total of a 9.2%. He basically said that the settlement was violative of regulatory principles and practices, which essentially means it was against the law. And that's what we claimed, and the stipulation was rejected. Now, I will just tell you that I am aware that PNM is continuing to work with other parties to create a new stipulation, and unless they throw out the portion of reimbursement for Four Corners, we will be opposing that stipulation. And if I could just explain a little bit about the main reason why we're opposing this stipulation, and that is PNM invested in Four Corners Power Plant in 2013 without doing any financial analysis. And the law is that PNM can't make significant investments without a rigorous analysis. And they did no analysis. And so we're saying, why should... And PNM now says, oh, well, we've been running this plant for years now, and we've been invested in this plant in Four Corners for years now, and we want the ratepayers to pay. But that's not fair, because that's not what the law says. The law says, unless you show that it's a benefit for ratepayers, you can't just make investments willy-nilly, and they call it imprudent, and or we might say irresponsible. No one would go spend $150 million without doing an investigation, without investigating if there are risks or investigating if there are cheaper alternatives, for instance. But PNM did that, and now they're worried that they might have to bear the brunt of that. And so we are going to be making a case in front of the commission and saying, hey, ratepayers should not pay for the bad decisions of management. And that's what the law says. That's what the law in New Mexico says. And
right.
So that's our argument. As a matter of fact, Sandy Jones, one of the commissioners, actually the commissioner in your district, is going to be at the Grant County Commission meeting room on June 12th at 3 o'clock and at 6 o'clock, and wants to hear from you all, from the public, about what you think about PNM's newest rate increase. And if you want, people can go to newenergyeconomy.org and learn about this sort of high-level synopsis of the rate case, but primarily opposing the $150 million that PNM is asking for reimbursement for costs at Four Corners, the single largest ticket item. If we got rid of that, that would cut the rate increase by almost a third. So that would be pretty significant.
So, Marielle, in the last couple minutes of this segment, just summarize and give us a sense of why this case is so important to the clean energy transition.
Well, if PNM is allowed to make investments and recoup from the ratepayers, even when they haven't met their burden of proof, which is so low, all they have to do is show that they acted reasonably as a reasonable utility executive. But they didn't. They didn't do any financial analysis. So those costs should be not paid by ratepayers, discharged to ratepayers, but they should have to suffer the consequences of their imprudent acts. And if they do that, that will hasten our exit from Four Corners. And that's exactly the kind of thing that we want. They did no financial analysis, and therefore we shouldn't be paying for those costs. And if the PRC rules in our favor, then believe me, shareholders are not going to want to pay that $150 million, and they will demand that PNM gets out of Four Corners. But the writing's on the wall. I mean, coal is a dying business. Nobody's investing in coal except for PNM. And so why are we paying for these decisions by their management because they are slow to act? And the real reason is something that we started when we started this whole discussion. You know, we talk about the environmental injustice and the economic injustice, but really it's corroding our democracy as well.
We'll be right back after this short break and talk more with Marielle Nanasi of New Energy Economy. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic of Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. In case you're just joining us, I'm talking today with Mariel Nanasi, Executive Director of New Energy Economy, a nonprofit advocacy organization based in Santa Fe that works to build a carbon-free energy future for our health and environment. Let's turn now to PNM's integrated resource planning effort. PNM was here in Silver City recently soliciting public input on their IRP. So, Mariel, first off, tell us what an integrated resource plan is.
Well, there's two versions. One is what it's supposed to be and what it actually is. What it's supposed to be is an engaged stakeholder process that helps determine the plan that the utility will proceed with certainly for the next 3 or 4 years, but taking into consideration a 20-year life cycle of the projects, because often, you know, you don't build a gas plant or something like that for 1 year, or solar even for 1 year. It's usually for a longer period of time. So you take into that consideration the long-term impacts, but you also focus on the near-term changes if they're needed to the current resource plan. Unfortunately, what we have seen with PNM is often it's predetermined and it's preordained and it's what the company wants, and they listen. They even call it a listening session with community members, but they don't make any changes based on those comments from the community. So it has inherent flaws built into the whole process, unfortunately.
So what are they proposing in their plan for this next 20 years?
In the Integrated Resource Plan, also called the IRP, this is the best version of our future that we've ever seen. So that's the good news. And PNM finally admits that it will be entirely coal-free. The problem, of course, is that their plan is to be coal-free in 14 years, which is completely unacceptable. But there are some good things, and PNM plans to add 870 megawatts of solar and wind in the next 5 years. Now, that's mostly for Facebook and not for us. So there, again, is a problem.
So Facebook, why don't you just tell people, in case people don't know, so Facebook is coming to Los Lunas or Belen, a new facility. Tell us a little more, just so people know what
Facebook
you're talking about.
Is coming into New Mexico in the Los Lunas area. And the issue was they would only come here if PNM and the state agreed to make sure that they had 100% renewables. And so PNM is going to give them 100% renewables. But the problem is that we want that same thing. And the reason why they want that is to have a hedge against rising electricity rates. Plus, it's also good for their PR and the planet, and we want the same thing. And as we talked about before, we only have 2% solar, and we need to close down the enormous investments that PNM is making in coal in order to have enough room on the system to have renewables. So, you know, the plan is a little too slow and a little too late in terms of feasible solar and wind. There's not enough energy efficiency that's baked into this process, and it still is too heavy on nuclear and gas. And those energy resources put customers at risk of bearing high costs from over-reliance. And as we said today, renewables are less costly and better on every measure, jobs, health, and the environment, than gas and nuclear. And PNM already has too much expensive nuclear on its system. So we don't want PNM to replace the closing of coal with so much nuclear and so much gas. We want further, greater investment in renewables. We want, for the first time really discussed, battery storage in their IRP, their plan, the Integrated Resource Plan, but they never included it in any of the resource portfolios going forward. So that's a big problem. And we know that if PNM, which is, I forget the exact number, but I think it's about 1,000 megawatts. PNM wants to invest in 1,000 megawatts of new gas plants. We're going to be facing not only climate risks and environmental hazards and pipeline spills and things like that, but price volatility. And when we have that kind of dependence on gas, we're going to have households and businesses that will potentially be stuck with electricity price spikes.
So what are the next steps? So PNM was here in Silver City soliciting public input. Are there additional opportunities for people to weigh in?
Actually, I think today is the last day, and there are possibilities to send them your comments, but they've gone all around the state, including busing workers from their current mine and plant. So the window for comment really was between April and today, so very narrow for this supposed stakeholder engagement.
And I should say we're recording this on May 23rd, so by the time this airs, the public comment period will be over. So Mariel, what are the next steps here? Do you feel like we the public who wants a transition to renewables, do you think we can get this out of the IRP? Is pressure going to work here? Is it going to take more effort to get them to modify their IRP?
Well, PNM will be filing their IRP in July, actually on July 3rd, with the Public Regulation Commission. And then people who do not agree with the IRP plan can file protests. That's what they're actually called at the Public Regulation Commission. And I think that that is an important thing to do, because this is a plan that sets the course, lays the groundwork for what PNM will do. And if it's too heavily invested in nuclear and gas and not enough in renewables, we're going to see the same kinds of price increases that we've been seeing year after year after year. And that's what coal and nuclear gives us. We don't get those kinds of price spikes with renewables. That's one of the best things about them. On day one, you know what the price is, because there's no fuel costs, and oftentimes they're guaranteed sometimes between 25 and 40 years. And so they get fixed and it doesn't cost people a penny. So that's another really important benefit from renewables. So that's why we are engaging in this 100% renewables campaign, and would love for people to come out, because the only way that I like to say activism is the antidote to despair, and it's really the only way that we will be able to turn things around and to create a better sense of community and to create greater health and economic prosperity more justly shared in New Mexico, as opposed to PNM, which is the 1% in our state. So I invite people to come and engage in not only hear the presentation, but engage in dialogue on Monday, June 5th at 5:30 at the UU Fellowship Hall, 3845 North Swan Street in Silver City. So Monday, June 5th, we invite you all to participate, and we can talk further about the rate case and the IRP and the protests that will inevitably follow PNM's filing because it doesn't have enough renewables in it, and all the other ways that we can get involved and activate and engage our fellow community members.
Okay, so New Energy Economy. For more information, go to newenergyeconomy.org. Mariel, thank you so much for talking with us today, and thank you for all of your hard work on behalf of our climate and future generations. We're so appreciative of your efforts.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, that's all the time we have today. Thank you to our audio engineer, Kyle Johnson. We hope you'll join us again for next week's edition of Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio 89.1 FM.